Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In 2015, NPR's radio show called This American Life ran a segment about a marketing executive from Colombia named Jose Miguel Sokoloff. See, the government of Colombia at this time had hired Sokoloff to run an ad campaign that would convince leftist guerrilla rebels to demobilize and then re-enter society. In 2010, Sokoloff and his team ran a campaign called Operation Christmas, but they saved their most effective ad campaign for last. After three such Christmas ad campaigns, due to political changes, Sokoloff and his team knew that they had to try something new. Therefore, in 2012, the two warring sides began peace talks that seemed very promising. So the question no longer was, is this a winnable war? But it became, since the war is probably going to end, will my community back home take me in again? Will my family still accept me? And that's when they dropped probably their biggest emotional bomb, a campaign they simply called Mother's Voices. In it, Sokoloff and his team found 37 mothers of guerrilla fighters who were willing to give them pictures of those fighters as children. Sokoloff said, "And it was important that they gave us pictures of the kids when they were small, because in order to protect them, we needed to make sure that only the person in the picture would be able to recognize himself." And the message was telling. Before you were a gorilla, you were my child. Come back home. I'm waiting for you. Wow. You know this, right? Sometimes we don't need a huge ad campaign to make movement happen, right? Sometimes we just need the love of a faithful mother in our lives. Thank you, moms, for that. Still, on a grander scale, we need the recognition that we all have a past, near or far, that there is pain in that past, pain because we've fallen short in one way or another, and therefore we've brought pain not just to ourselves, but to others. We all have sinned. We all are sinners. See, there are times when we need a voice that reminds us of where we've come from. Equally, though, we also need a voice that reminds us of where we're going. We need a voice that reminds us that we have a home to head for, and a love that by faith alone welcomes us. And in a really broad brushstroke, it's this dual view, this look back and this aim forward, that Revelation 7 does so well for us. I know where I've come from. I know where I am going. I know who, capital W, I know who's waiting there for me. And I know it so well that I live these truths in my everyday life. I witness to them, I live them, and they are mine. This is Revelation 7. In fact, let me show you. If you take a look at our section for today, in your bulletins, in your Bibles, your Bible apps, Revelation 7, 9 to 17, you need to quickly realize that this is John's second vision of chapter 7. Yeah, this is his second one. See, his first vision in verses 1 to 8 is significant and complementary, but the second one gives us some quite remarkable views of this incredible multitude before him. For instance, John tells us that this salvation, that this multitude has just received, is global. It's global. Meaning it is diverse. Meaning it represents all tribes, all nations, all peoples, all languages. In other words, This multitude is free of ethnocentrism, free of prejudice or bigotry or racism. The Lamb has called them all, and He's called them by His grace and His truth. And the call is so deep and it's so rich that it suddenly makes this radically diverse group integrated. It makes them one. I mean, take a look at this section if you have it before you. They all wear white robes. They all clutch palm branches. And the white robes are their status before and by the Lamb alone. They are washed clean. The palm branches are a sign of worship and witness, for the Lamb is victorious, the Lamb is living, the Lamb is King. They fall on their faces together before the Lamb, before the throne, and the Lamb. Yes, salvation is global. And it's also glorious. See, this multitude that stands before the throne of God and before the Lamb, this says that they are redeemed. This multitude stands before the throne of God and before the Lamb, and that says that they are redeemed. It's worth hearing. They are clothed permanently in white, the color of victory and purity. They stand before the Lamb as those who are made righteous. The instruments of worship are the palms, and they wave them in joy and praise, and their confession is that salvation belongs to the Lamb, as does eulogia, doxa, sophia, eucharista, dunamis, and iskus, which when shouted together in revelation-like style are blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. In Exodus 12:5, we are told that the Passover must be sacrificed and that the Lamb must be without blemish. In Isaiah 53, we meet the suffering servant and we're told that he will go to the sacrifice like a sheep to the slaughter. In John 1, we hear the Baptist say that Jesus is the promised Lamb of God, Lamb of God. And now in Revelation, we see him as the warrior and king who is also the Lamb, standing as the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and resurrected Lamb who deserves all the praise. Why? Because he's defeated death, sin, Satan. Because through him alone is life eternal, life today, life by his word, life through the sacraments, life through his promise, life translated through law and gospel, repentance and remission through resurrection and renewal. See, we know where we've been, right? I mean, we know what we've said. We are painfully aware of the damage our thoughts have done, and yet the Lamb redeems and saves. And that salvation, friends, is for all who believe. A wonderful diversity knit together by one voice that then forms up this one global and glorious voice of praise. Wow. Can I just say that again? Wow. See, we know where we've been and we know what Jesus has done for us. We are rebels called back home. We are guerrilla fighters reminded of the love that first formed us. And we now witness to this fact. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a leftist rogue like me. Revelation 7:13-14 says it like this. And if you have it before you, man, let's read it together, huh? Verses 13 to 14, are you ready? Then one of the elders addressed me saying, "Why, who are these? Clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Whoa. I mean, tell me, isn't Revelation awesome? Corrie Ten Boom, a Christian Holocaust survivor and protector of Jewish persons, once said of the cleansing and redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus, quote, "The blood of Jesus Christ has great power." This is perhaps not a phrase in the Bible that is so full of secret, truth as is the blood. There is perhaps not a phrase in the Bible that is so full of secret truth as is the blood of Jesus. It is the secret of his incarnation, when Jesus took on flesh and blood. The secret of his obedience unto death, when he gave his life at the cross of Calvary. The secret of his love that went beyond all understanding, when he bought us with his blood. The secret of the enemy and the secret of our eternal salvation. Folks, this is why we sing. This is why we sacrifice. This is why we can fully rest in him and his righteousness for us. Salvation is ours. And this is why we speak of what he's done in word and in deed. Because the good news needs to be the most well-known secret of all time. See, we know where we've been. And we know what Jesus' blood has done for us. And you know, these diverse people that we see here in chapter 7, they don't just celebrate what God has already done to rescue them from their sin and misery. No, for such people also eagerly anticipate what God will yet do. See, such people revel in God's privilege being able to serve him. Yes. In eternal life, they serve him with priestly and worshipful service day and night in the temple. And no, I get it. There's a lot of people who look at that and they kind of go, oh, whoa, wow, yippee, we're going to be having this long worship service in heaven, right? No, it's so much more than that, because we're going to be a part of a vast and multicultural community of diverse and yet unified praise. Folks, we'll be on the other side of suffering forever. I mean, think about that. No one ever abandoned again. No one forgotten. No one mistreated. No one bereaved of a lost one. No one persecuted or sick ever again. And those who have arrived through the great tribulation by way of the cross. And through the doorway of the cross, we enter as those with soiled garments made ragged by the course of time. But we exit washed by the crimson flood and made clean as the driven snow. No more tears, no more agony, no more injustice, no more suffering, no more pain, no more night, no more curse, no more farewells, broken friendships, or severed marriages. So won't we be bored there? Doubtful. For this is going to be a place where gifts are fully realized, time is forever, perfection is the norm, not the seldom heard or seen. Truth is the air we breathe, the love of God is our worth. Physical limitations are a thing of the fallen past, and the faithful live in the glow of the sovereign God in the garden as it once was and forever will be. And it's therefore no wonder that the diverse faithful break into this melodious praise. Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb. We are in God's presence forever. We are provided for in his grace. We are shepherded never to be lost or displaced or be thirsty ever again. And you know, this almost makes me wonder if that praise will sound just a little bit like, well, the roar of the crowd when your team scores the winning goal, right, at an FCC game. Or that winning run when the Reds get it right. It's the sound of fireworks going off after playoff football games. Do you remember this? It's like the joy of the local football team making the national playoff tournament. Then to that thunderous roar mix in the angels around the throne and all of creation itself as it's released from its pain and twistedness. This is the praise that'll make the time, that time that you first saw the Lion King. Do you remember this in the theaters, those of you who are of age? Do you remember the first time you saw the Lion King? It'll make this praise, makes that sound like a whisper. Verse 12. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Whew. Now I get it. that may not answer the very minutest of details and desires for you, that actually may create more questions for you of what that'll look like, but it covers what is most needed. That's what Revelation does. And, you know, there is also one question left to ask from this. Do you know where you're going? Do you know where you're going? And are you sure about that? Following a campaign speech, a young man rushed up to Everett Dirksen. He served at various posts in the Illinois House of Representatives, Senate, and he was the Senate Minority Leader from 32 until his death in 1969. Well, a young man ran up to Everett Dirksen, and he said, "Senator," I could almost see this happen today, "Senator, I wouldn't vote for you if you were St. Peter." Dirksen eyed the young man for a moment and said, "Son, if I were St. Peter, you wouldn't vote for me because I wouldn't be in your district. Because you wouldn't be in my district." The punchline is heaven in your district. Is it? Well-known radio evangelist Charles E. Fuller. For those of you who know, there's Fuller Seminary. That's Fuller. He once announced that he would speak on the following Sunday on heaven. During that week, he received a letter from an old man who was very ill. Here's just a slice of that letter. "Next Sunday, you, Mr. Fuller, are to talk about heaven. I am interested in that land because I have held a clear title to a bit of property there for over 55 years. I did not buy it. It was given to me without money and without price, but the donor purchased it for me at a tremendous sacrifice. I am holding it for speculation since the title is not transferable and it's not a vacant lot. For more than half a century, I've been sending material out of which the greatest architect and builder of the universe has been building a home for me, which will never, never need to be repaired because it will suit me perfectly and will never grow old. Termites can never undermine its foundation, for it rests upon the rock of ages. Fire cannot destroy it. Floods cannot wash it away. No locks or bolts will ever be placed upon its doors. For no vicious person can ever enter that land where my dwelling stands. Now almost completed and ready for me to enter and abide in peace eternally without fear of being ejected. There is a valley of deep shadow between the place where I live in California and that to which I shall journey in a very short time. I cannot reach my home in the city of God without passing through that dark valley of shadows. But I am not afraid, because the best friend I ever had went through that same valley alone long, long ago and drove away all the gloom. He has stuck by me through thick and thin since we first became acquainted 55 years ago, and I hold his promise in printed form, never to forsake nor to leave me alone. He will be with me as I walk through the valley of the shadows, and I shall not lose my way when he is with me. I hope to hear your sermon on heaven next Sunday from my home, but I have no assurance that I shall be able to do so. My ticket to heaven has no date marked for the journey, no return coupon, no permit for baggage. Yes, I am ready to go. And I may not be here while you are talking next Sunday, but I shall meet you there someday. I shall meet you there someday." Friends, countless steely-eyed and wonderful saints that I've had the pleasure to minister to throughout my years have said a similar phrase to me many times as they've sung into the gaping maw of death while trumpeting that their trust is firm in Jesus Christ. My mother knew this. My brother knew this. Thanks be to God. See, all of them knew where they had been. And yes, in some cases, They had been to some pretty ugly places and had seen some pretty ugly times. They knew who they were. Sinners saved by grace and grace alone. They knew where they were going, to heaven, to eternal life in Christ. They are a part of that great diverse multitude made clean by the Lamb. And that certainty, even during the shakiest of times, gave them this incredible witness. A rock-solid witness, an authentic and hopeful witness. Heaven's a real place, and the saints will dwell there securely. So do you know where you've been? Do you know where you're going? By His grace, you can answer those. Yes, I am here by God's grace alone, and I'll be there in heaven by God's grace and mercy and work. And by that alone. And yes, that witness is a secret, folks, that needs to be told. That's a witness to be made new each day. So let's live today. Let's speak and serve and sacrifice, praise and be at peace, because we know where we've been. And we know where we're going. Home to heaven. By God's grace, I look forward to seeing you there someday. In Jesus' name, amen.